Gary, thanks so much for the time. I know it's been a hectic week, to say the least.
Better late than never, I hope, Chris.
No,
sorry about
perfect.
That.
Hey, here's what we did. No Gary Harris. What do we substitute with? Nick Saban.
Well, that's flattering. I guess if I can't make it, there's only one person that can fill the slot, right?
Here's the philosophy I have gone with on this show from day one. If they can hear Coach Saban's voice, why would they want to hear mine? So we'll play Saban over. Well, and they just put it on a loop for 2 hours.
I think we can all probably live by that. So.
I agree. It's a good week. I know those of us that have covered it are glad it's over, but a good 4 days for those that love SEC football.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was talking because I only went yesterday. We had full coverage. I had four or five people over there just about every day, but I only went yesterday, and I was talking with some people that I've known since way, way back, since I started out my television career a long time ago in Anniston, at the old Channel 40, and the first year, of course, I was a baby when I started, let's be clear on this, the first year that I was in TV was still the old Skyriders tour, Chris. That's how long ago that was, and when the media outlets would actually take a plane and go around to the different, at that time, 10 campuses and visit all the coaches and talk to the players there. But I want to say media days, and that might have been actually the first 2 years. I don't know if 84 was the first year or somewhere along in there, but I can remember going early on and even when I left Anniston and was working in other places, and it was fun, but it was a really low-key event, and the coaches a lot of times would, instead of being hurried from room to room and nonstop because there were so many different outlets, a lot of times when they were between rooms, they would just stand out in the hallway or whatever area was available, courtyard or wherever the event might be, because it moved around from hotel to hotel, if I remember correctly, and you could just walk up to them and just have a casual conversation with not necessarily always with a notepad or a camera or a recorder, just talk to them off the cuff. And again, I don't want to put a number on it, but it couldn't have been those first few years. It couldn't have been over a couple hundred media members total.
Now, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've told this story on air. But in '89, I was an intern. I was working for a little AM radio station in Calera, but I was also interning for Ron Grillo at Channel 6.
Right, yeah.
We were at the Winfrey. It was only the fourth or fifth year because they did start that in 85. Steve Spurrier's going into his first year as head coach at Florida. He stands outside one of the rooms and talks to me for 10 minutes.
How about that?
That can't and won't happen today because of the sheer volume of numbers.
Yeah, and that's how amazing, and I'll tell you even another funny story, it's kind of flattering, I guess it was about 88, and that particular year, it wasn't out by the Civic Center, but it was at another hotel downtown, and I can remember I was working over in Mississippi, and I came over and real small staff, so I brought a buddy of mine to come help me, because I didn't have the other sports guy to stay back and work, and so probably didn't reflect on me, it was more on him, he was a big guy, but I was probably around 24 years old or so, and he was about the same age. And we walked in, and we went up to get our credential, and the girl said, "Well, what team do y'all play for?"
Felt good.
I should have just said, we're with Alabama, but it was just unbelievable the difference. But then, and then this week, I guess close to 1,300 media members. I mean, just you couldn't move. It was. It was fun, but don't get me wrong, it was a zoo, and those coaches are herded around, and there's no time for them to stop. I mean, when they leave one room, they've got enough responsibility, whether it be on a one-on-one room with one of the different television partners with the SEC, and you can't hardly get a word with them in just a casual setting. But, it is what it is, and that's how, it's an example of how the sport has grown from an interest standpoint, and also how many more media outlets there are, with the internet and all the different radio stations that come. And another thing I remember, Chris, and you probably do too, in those years, I want to say maybe two radio stations were set up. There was no radio row. But it's an event, it's a happening, it's the unofficial kickoff to football season. you know, the fans respond. You know, once again, yesterday the lobby was full of fans, and you know, it's exciting, and it lets us know that the football season is close, and you know, we're ready to go.
Christian Jones kind of owned it there for a little while, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a charismatic kid. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And you know, you look at some of these athletes, and you can see sometimes, occasionally, they might be a little bit stressed about it, and there are others like Christian Jones who just, as you said, just kind of own it and are looking forward to it and enjoy it. There's not anything you can't ask them that they don't have a good, thoughtful response to or a comical response to. And then with his ability to do impersonations and dance and everything else, he was truly a treat. And for us that have covered him, like you and I, he's been that way since he got on campus. He's a delightful young man and was a great representative for Alabama yesterday, as were Landon Collins and Amari Cooper. But certainly Christian Jones, his personality was something that was enjoyed by all.
You know, everybody talks about the quarterback slide, and we just played the cuts from Nick Saban talking about the three qualities he's really looking for in a quarterback: decision making, accuracy, and leadership. Somebody, whoever is under center or working from the pistol, is going to have that clearly. But in terms of being the guy that is the real locker room leader for the offense, could it be? Will it be Christian Jones, you think?
Well, right now, and you make a good point. It does, you know. I don't think it always has to be the quarterback. Now, I think it's better for your football team if that's the case. If the quarterback not only, you know, does what he needs to do as a player, but becomes your leader. But going into this season without an established quarterback, although Blake Sims has been around the program, this is his fifth year, but not knowing who the starting quarterback is going to be, I do think it's important that somebody on that offense kind of show the way and say, this is how we do it, and point it out to everybody. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the quarterback. And I think Christian Jones can be that guy. I think he, much like how he handled media days, he seems to me like a guy that would embrace that role and tell the younger players and tell the other people in offense, this is the way we do it at Alabama. So, yeah, I think it could be. Now, I think as the season goes on, whoever establishes themselves as the quarterback, it'll be important that they kind of take over that role. But early on, and maybe it's the case right now in the 7-on-7s, I think Christian Jones could be one of those type of guys.
Gary Harris, sports director, WVUA Television here in Tuscaloosa, kind enough to join us on Fridays here on Tide 99.1. Nick Saban asked about Lane Kiffin pretty lightheartedly, saying he hopes he survives Knoxville. He survived going to Baton Rouge his first year. Good luck to Lane surviving there in Neyland Stadium. But, you know, you can tell he's very comfortable with the guy that he's not completely handed the reins of the offense to, but as much as he'll hand anybody the reins to anything within his organization.
I think so, Chris. I think a lot of decision and thought went into making that choice to hire Lane Kiffin. I don't think it was done overnight. We know Coach Kiffin came in as a consultant and was allowed to look over everything they did from a quality control standpoint with the offense, and also from a schematic standpoint. And made some observations and shared those with Coach Saban as they were going forward after, you know, Coach Nuss left. I think that Coach Saban was just like, wow, I need an offensive coordinator, and why not you? I think that they hit it off. And I do think that, again, just watching what happened last year offensively, it was a good offense. I think we would agree. I mean, at times they were almost unstoppable, but at other times they bogged down. And I think Coach Saban is a coach that, whether it's offense, defense, the kicking game, the strength and conditioning program, whatever area, academics, I think he's all about maximizing your potential. Whatever you have the potential to do, you need to reach it. And I think that he felt like the offense did not reach its potential last season, and that Lane Kiffin gives them that opportunity. And, again, the quarterback is a question mark, but when you look at the weapons on offense around the quarterback, you look at the receivers, you look at the tight ends, my goodness, you look at those running backs. You look at the fact that the offensive line needs to come together, but the numbers are there. The depth is there. The recruiting has been there. There are outstanding football players on the offensive side of the ball, and I think this offense has the chance. Now, I'm not saying that they're there now, but they have the chance to really, really be good, and I think Coach Saban feels like Lane Kiffin is the guy that can maximize that potential and help these guys to reach it. And if they do, you know, it can be scary for the opposition on defense. I mean, there are a lot of football players for Alabama right now on offense.
I agree with you, Gary. They've got a chance to be very, very good. I also believe, though, that for that to happen, and I talked about this yesterday when the all-conference team, preseason all-conference team came out from the league's media, if that's going to be the case, Ari Quanjo is going to have to live up to the billing because he had his struggles, and he wasn't alone by any stretch last year. But he's going to have to play along the lines of a first or second team all-conference guy for that to be the case, won't it?
Yeah, you know, I love Ari. I think he's thoughtful. He's a great young man to talk to. I did not vote for him first team All-SEC in terms of the way I ranked the offensive lineman. He was not one of the top five. I do think he's a good player. I hope he lives up to that billing. And you're right, he's a guy that's been around here a long time. He knows the ins and outs of the offensive line. He knows what it's like to have to wait, as offensive linemen often do, to get your opportunity. And now he's been through a transition, playing right next to his brother, who's younger than him, and now his brother's in the National Football League. So I'm not saying that he has a chip on his shoulder. That's not what I mean. But I do think he knows this is his last go-around. I think he will view himself as a leader of that offensive line and an anchor. And I agree with you. I think he needs to play well. And there were times last year on that left side with him and Cyrus that there were breakdowns. And whoever is over there with him this year, if indeed he's at left guard again, Ari Quanjo is going to have to mentor that left tackle because it's going to be a new player regardless of who it winds up, whether it's Cam Robinson, who would be a true freshman, or someone else. So, yeah, I can see that. I can see that he needs to play very well. I think Ryan Kelly is going to have a really, really good year. I think Austin Shepard's going to have a really good year. So if you take those two guys and you put Quanjo in the mix, who, regardless of who the other two guys are that are added in, that can be a solid offensive line, an offensive line that's certainly good enough to win a championship.
Hey, Comcast, huge in Tuscaloosa. It's major nationally, obviously, but a big story today, ESPN and Comcast officially reaching an agreement for carriage of the SEC network. They'll start rolling that out on August 14th. I know here in Tuscaloosa especially, that is a major story.
It is, and you know, I know people get the people that are SEC fans get nervous, and I don't blame them, but you know how this works, and you know, they're still, I don't know, DirecTV's still out there, but there's time still, and I think when the network debuts, if not on that very day, a few days after, I think everybody will be on board. Comcast is a huge pickup. It's great that they got together, and but I just think that's the nature of things. This is too big of a network, and the providers certainly want to have it on board. I mean, it's not good for them not to have it, and at the same time, it's business, and everybody's trying to get the best deal for themselves, whether it be the provider, whether it be the SEC network, and it takes time sometimes, Chris. But yeah, great for the Comcast cable viewers to now be able to go and have that sigh of relief. And I, you know, the providers that are out there, whether they be large or small, that still aren't on board, you know, I guess there's still over 3 weeks that they have to get it situated. And I think at the end of the day, most everybody will be on board.
I have not talked to you since last week, but certainly the major story beyond college football and SEC media days as far as Tuscaloosa is concerned, Sarah Patterson stepping down, a natural replacement for her in Dana Duckworth, but obviously that is a huge story that would have dominated even more of the sports headlines and landscape, Gary, if it had not fallen right in the heart of SEC media days.
Absolutely, and I'm doing the here because I'm trying to think of my response, because it was such a unique story in the sense that she's been here so long, and then the timing of it is amazing. Everybody's in Birmingham, you know, all the media,
right.
And you know, I had heard some, I'll just call them rumors because I didn't put much stock in them, right after the season, from someone that she might be considering stepping down. I had been told that she had some physical issues that she wanted to deal with. Jordan was graduating and so forth and so on, but I never heard anything else about it, Chris. So I didn't in my mind, I didn't continue to think about it. So I was as stunned as everyone else when the announcement came out, when her announcement came out. And then, of course, the second thing as a media person, I immediately began to think about, well, how can we cover this? I've got five people in Birmingham, so forth and so on, and that kind of deal. But
right.
In the last couple of days, I've had a chance to reflect, and I think a lot of us have, at her amazing legacy. And not just as a gymnastics coach, but as an innovator and as a leader in changing the perception and changing the way women's collegiate athletics is perceived by fans, and really being on the forefront of making gymnastics a fan sport, you know, not just at Alabama, but at other schools where people, you know, pack the seats to watch it, and it's starting to happen all over the country now. So as they go forward in collegiate athletics or gymnastics in other schools, start having sellouts, start having, you know, special nights where people, you know, pack the gyms, you know, she's the one that started all that. So it isn't just at Alabama that her legacy is built, but all around the country in gymnastics programs and women's collegiate athletics as a whole. I mean, I you know, if there's a Mount Rushmore of women's coaches, you know, certainly I guess you would start with Pat Summitt, and Sarah Patterson is there as well. There's no doubt about that.
I told Dana Duckworth, who was on Radio Row Wednesday. She showed up at SEC Media Days.
She learned well, didn't she? She learned from her mentor.
That was my last thing to her. I said, Dana, you know me. I don't know anything about gymnastics. I don't know if you'll coach like Sarah Patterson or not, but the mere fact that you're here on a Wednesday for SEC Football Media Days, by golly, the Sarah Patterson imprint's all over you. And she goes, you gotta mark it. And really and truly, that is among the reasons why I think so many of us feel like it's such a natural transition to Dana in that role. She understands that. Her personality is perfect for that, and nobody knows the past, present, and where she wants the future to go for Alabama gymnastics more so than Dana.
Absolutely, and a great resume. You know, an NCAA individual champion as a gymnast under Sarah and David, so she knows what it's like to perform under. Then, you know, successful in the business world as a sales representative for Pfizer, and knows what it's like to deal in that side of the world, and then to come back and enter coaching and coach under Sarah and David for 6 years, and also, you know, has a reputation as in terms of being a choreographer for these routines, dance routines on the floor, as good as anybody in the country. And then to have Brian Rashilla with her, and the fact that both of them, when Sarah and David gave them the news, kind of made a pact among each other that, hey, regardless of which one of us gets the head job, because they're both qualified, the other one is going to stay. So as she has said, and Sarah has said as well, this should be a seamless transition, because they both know what they're doing. Sarah and David, while they won't be coaching, and I'm not meaning to say they're going to be meddling, but they will be here. And because Dana is so comfortable with both of them, if she has any questions, she only needs to reach out and ask their advice, and
right.
I'm sure they will provide it. So you've got a great group of athletes, you've got a great recruiting base, you've got two really terrific coaches. Now there will be a new assistant that comes in, and at some point a volunteer assistant, but you know, I don't know that you can ever replace a coach like Sarah and David as well, but this is probably as good a situation as you could ever hope for, and I think that probably has something to do with the timing as well. Sarah, seeing the way that she can leave it, let it go smoothly, she can get these, you know, get these knees of hers taken care of, and she can enjoy entering the next phase of her life and still have impact on this Alabama program going forward. So I'm expecting it to really be seamless. At the same time, it's going to be tough in terms of competition, whether Sarah David had stayed or Dana and Brian are running the show. You know, the sport is expanding, and there are more and more good programs, and it's going to get harder and harder to win. But that's a good thing, and again, that goes back to what we were talking about with Sarah. That has a lot to do with what she was able to accomplish, that so many schools around the country now are giving gymnastics the resources that they need to build a program similar to Alabama's.
Gary, I'm guessing your sportscast this afternoon and tonight kind of similar to our show in that you're going, okay, I've gotten through Monday through Thursday of Media Days. What did I miss? And let's go back and hit that stuff today.
Absolutely, and in fact, there's so much material, I'm going to continue to use it all the way up until, you know, these teams start reporting for fall camp. But
right.
Yeah, today you're exactly right, Chris. In fact, we're going to do our best of Media Days. It's something that I started a few years ago, and I do run it every year, the day after Media Days ends, and you mentioned Christian Jones. He'll be in there dancing a gig. Bradley Woodington is going to help me with that as far as picking out the quips and the best comments. And you start thinking, well, we'll do about 2 minutes worth, which is, you know, in TV is pretty long. That's a pretty long story. But you could do 10 minutes worth. I mean, it's that good when you start going through it. But, yeah, we'll have our best of Media Days today, and it'll be a lot of fun. I really was looking at some of the material last night, just sitting there on the computer, and I'm like, well, can we get this in? And then Bradley and I were kind of playing around. We were already at 3:15.
Yeah.
Said, oh, boy.
Yeah.
We got a minute and 15. We got to shave off, and we'll make the cut. But, yeah, looking forward to bringing that to people.